announcing from every hilltop the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and we are continuing our study on the responsibilities of the Christian man. And I'm really honing in on and focusing on this little verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which calls the man to dwell with his wife with understanding. Why does he have to dwell with her with understanding? Well, the simple answer to that is it's because of her struggle. Peter calls her the weaker vessel. What does that mean? Well, a lot of commentators believe it's talking about the woman's physical weakness in comparison to the man's. That may be part of it. But the answer should begin by asking the question, why does he tell the man to dwell with her with understanding? With gnosis, with knowledge. This is so important. This means the man is to have, if he's going to dwell with her properly, an intimate knowledge of his wife. He has to invest time to talk to her, to know her. That's what this all presupposes, that he's investing time to really know the one that he's become one with. But it goes further. He has to know his wife personally. How she's made up, her attributes, her character, her nature, how all of that functions in light of what she's fighting against due to the curse. What do I mean? Man struggles with a lack of leading and the curse of the ground. He is called to return to godly leadership, but remember what the woman struggles with. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. You'll remember that very same construction that God spoke there to Eve when speaking about sin was the same one that he used to speak to Cain. Sin's desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. What does the woman struggle with? History has proved this. She struggles with her position. She struggles with what God has called her to be as a godly woman. Paul recognized this in 1 Timothy. This is why he gave this clear, not cultural statement, but creational statement. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. The point is that she really struggles because of the fall with the roles God has given to her. And if you don't believe me, look where it's gone. It's become socially acceptable for the woman to abandon the home. She went from being the bread maker to the breadwinner. And the pressures put upon women today to do something more and the mockery of homemaking is tragic. But it illustrates the problem. You know, I had a well-meaning guy tell me about his wife. And he says, you know, you're just about suppressing your views, suppressing women. My wife works. I do all the home stuff. I refuse to hold her back from her God-given talents. And I said, man, you've got it all wrong. You've made the assumption that being inside the home is holding a woman back. And that there's liberation, think about it, when she leaves the home. I'm not saying that it's wrong in every circumstance for a woman to work outside the home. That's not at all what I'm saying. Don't hear me say that. But I am saying that a woman is fulfilling the very purpose she was made for when she functions as a helpmeet to her husband. And she gives herself to make the home beautiful. That's Proverbs 31. Look carefully at Proverbs 31. When she's doing these things, she is fully liberated in her calling. Imagine if I were speaking at some, as a congressman, at a rally, and I read Titus 2. Listen to Titus 2. Admonish the young women to, here's their responsibility, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, this is a really important verse. The word of God is blasphemed when she disregards the roles that God has given. And there he clearly said, God himself inspired the word. This is not Paul. If anyone has a problem with this, I just heard a Bible teacher on the radio the other day said, I don't know what to make of Paul. Come on. This is inspired by the Spirit. All of Scripture is God breathed. He says here, the women are to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's God himself. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. And everyone knows today that anyone who says that will be labeled as a pig and a chauvinist and pushing a Victorian model that is holding women back from their talents. There's the pressure. There's the problem. But what is the Lord calling us to as men? Well, here Peter is saying, know your wife, be understanding to this real struggle in her. And it's a real struggle. She really struggles with this. You know, I have no idea how much work it is for the younger women who have children. And these children are making messes all day long. And there's the man outside the home making a name. And he appears that he can do anything he wants to do. You know, what a challenge for the woman being taken from the rib of man, who was made to have all of her identity to be found through her husband. I mean, she takes on his name, doesn't she? Men don't have any idea what that's like. And I believe the woman does struggle with that at times. She struggles with feeling trapped. She struggles with feeling very confined in these roles. And Peter is saying, men, don't be insensitive to that. Don't be a tyrant. Have you ever seen really hard, tyrannical men lead who have a wrong view of headship? It's really ugly. And they do great damage to the family. Men need to be really sensitive to their wives. They need to love their wives. They need to, you know, get off the couch and help, don't they? That's being understanding. And I think as one pastor said, it's just right. It's fundamentally wrong to view your wife as a cook, a caretaker for the kids, and a sex partner. Peter is calling us here to know our wives, to understand our wives. And when we begin to function in these roles, harmony and fulfillment results. Chaos comes when we abandon them. And what Peter is saying to the husbands is, don't abandon the responsibility to lead your wife. You lead her by dwelling with her with understanding. Yes, her physical weakness, but her weakness of the sinful nature that she struggles, that her desire is to rule over you. Recognize this weakness and dwell with her with understanding. Promote her submission. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, Ephesians 5 is going to tell us to do it with love. But the typical response to promote submission by the woman throughout history has been what? Well, the men have been tyrannical over their women. And it's been very sad. Even, you know, when you look at and trying to suppress the woman, what men have done throughout history, you know, to this day, it makes me shiver that Abraham would actually turn his wife, Sarah, over to Pharaoh, who took her into his house, all the while, you know, trusting that he lied and said she was his sister. I praise God today that the Lord intervened and nothing happened because the Lord wouldn't let Pharaoh touch her. But what you have going on, when men do not nurture and dwell with their wives with understanding, there's no leadership, there's no nurture, a passive, uncaring tendency results in the dominance of tyranny. We know that in the early church, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Cato, a Roman writer, said, if your woman is caught in an act of infidelity, kill her. In the rabbi school of Hillel, among the Jews, the teaching prevailed that if a woman displeased a man for any reason, spoiling his dinner, he could divorce her, and it became so bad that the women refused to marry. The Greek and the Roman cultures at this time were no better. Demosthenes said, "We have courtesans for our pleasure, concubines for our daily cohabitation, and wives for the purpose of having children and legitimately and having a faithful guardian for our household affairs." So the Greeks viewed women simply to run the home and care for the children. And the Roman, they viewed the same thing, that women were to be married and to be divorced and divorced to be married. Thus, the story is told of one woman who had been married 25 times. This wasn't a first century phenomenon. We hear it regularly in our culture. Men commit the same kind of tyranny, buying into the notion they can just fall out of love, and that mentality has produced a justification for abandonment and divorce more than ever. How contrary all of this is to what the biblical writers are calling us as men to do and to be. And so what we're going to pick up with the rest of the week here is Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to verse 23. "The husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, as he is savior of the body." And then in verse 31 of Ephesians 5, he quotes Genesis. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." It's always interesting to me. The Apostle Paul won't even speak of this without rooting it in the gospel. He compares our headship to the headship of Christ over his church. So he wants you to see the comparison. The question that comes out is this: what did Jesus Christ do for his bride? Well, Christ, in an amazing act of love, actively pursued his bride. And what happened? Well, today we're united by faith to him. The mystery of the gospel is simply the spiritual union that comes through faith, meaning that there is an inseparable connection between us and Christ being joined to him. We are united to him. We are in him, so that whatever is said of him is true of us. He was raised, we are raised. He was crucified, we have been crucified. He conquered, we conquered. See how inseparable that union is? It's an unbreakable union based on his relentless, pursuing love to us, and we get to enjoy that all the time. So when the apostle's calling husbands to love their wives, this is what he has in mind. Look at what the Christian is enjoying. You get a sense of why God hates divorce. Christ doesn't divorce his bride, but he went to the ultimate sacrificial extreme to pursue her, to present her as a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So that means, Lynn, as we close today, the whole balance and success of a marriage, dear listener, really does depend on the man. The woman in Ephesians 5 is not called to love. The woman is wired to be a responding vessel to his love. And not just any kind of love, but a love that is like the love that Christ, that he has received from Christ himself. And so Ephesians 5 outlines the way the man is to love his wife, the way that he dwells with her with understanding. So this is the gospel. We have a great story we're telling. We get to do something. We get to show the world what the love of Christ is like, dear Christian husband, as we set ourselves to love our wives as the Lord Jesus Christ has loved his bride, the church. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.